All right. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you afraid of? What do you fear? Think about it. What are you afraid of? I think we all have things that we're afraid of. That's why today I want to share with you the true message of Christmas. Because all throughout the Christmas story, there is a message from God that I see time and time again. And if I could summarize what God would say to you this Christmas, it would have to be this: do not be afraid. Now, I need y'all to help me preach this morning. So tell your neighbor, do not be afraid. Oh, come on. Tell somebody else, do not be afraid. All right. We live in a world dominated by fear. Everywhere you turn, you're given a reason to be afraid. Come on, we're constantly being fed reasons to fear. Everything causes cancer. Did y'all know that? Literally everything causes cancer. Everything you eat is bad for you and will kill you, okay? And every surface that you touch has Ebola on it. Come on, you better be afraid because everything is dangerous. Fear, 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 fear. All we hear about is fear at every turn. Be afraid of this and be afraid of that. Fear dominates this world, but listen to me this morning, child of God, we are not part of this world. We belong to the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom of God, there is no place for fear. The kingdoms of this world are dominated by fear, but the kingdom of God is dominated by faith. And it is not the will of God for you to be afraid. One of my favorite Bible verses, 2 Timothy 1:7 says this: for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So tell somebody again, don't be afraid. And as I read the Bible about the birth of Jesus, I keep coming across this message. In Luke 1:13, God tells Zacharias, fear not. In Luke 1:30, he tells Mary, fear not. In Luke 2:10, he tells the shepherds, fear not. And in Matthew 1:20, he tells Joseph, fear not. The message of Christmas is that Jesus came to set us free from fear. He told Zacharias, fear not because your prayers have been answered. He said to Mary, fear not because you have found favor with God. He told the shepherds, fear not for the joy of the Lord is here. And he told Joseph, fear not because God is using this season in your life to bring forth something great. That was God's Christmas message to them. And I believe that that's what God is saying to you and I right now. Will you just close your eyes and just lift your hands for a moment? I want to just speak those words prophetically over your life. Fear not, says the Lord, for your prayers have been answered and I'm moving on your behalf. Fear not, says the Lord, for you have the divine favor of God upon your life. And if I am with you, who can stand against you? Fear not and receive the joy of the Lord, and my joy will be your strength. For I have promised to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Fear not. You're in the midst of a difficult season. You're hurting and you're broken, but there is a blessing in the breaking, says the Lord, and I'm using this season to birth something supernatural in your life. Do not be afraid. Come on, tell somebody, fear not. Come on, shout it, fear not. Don't be afraid. Word of God tells us over and over and over again not to fear. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Well, this morning I want to give you three reasons not to fear. Three reasons this morning. Number one, your past has been pardoned. Your past has been pardoned. Come on, say, my past has been pardoned. Listen, as a pastor, I've dedicated my life to helping people, and I would have to say that the number one problem that people talk to me about is guilt from their past. So many people struggle with guilt, and I pray with all my heart that you would truly understand what God has done for you. Your past has been pardoned. Listen to what the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is God's promise to you, that if you confess your sins to God, He will forgive you and He will wipe the record clean. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are not the person you used to be. Do you understand that? As a Christian, you are not the person you used to be. According to the Bible, that old guy is dead. You are a new creation. So when the devil tries to make you feel guilty and people try to remind you of your past, you just tell them, I used to be that, but I'm not that anymore. Jesus made me brand new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Everybody has sinned. The Bible tells us that. Everybody has failed. That's why Jesus came to forgive us and to give us a new beginning. Yeah. I love the Apostle Paul because he just gets real with people. He wrote a letter to the church in Corinth and he listed all of these sins that would exclude you from the kingdom of God. On and on the list went. But look at what he says at the bottom of that list. He says, and such were... He didn't say such are some of you. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It doesn't matter what you used to be. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation and all of your sins have been washed away. He said you were washed in the blood of Jesus. You were sanctified. What does it mean to sanctify something? It means to make it holy. It means to set it apart. It means God has set you apart unto himself. Yeah. I'll give you an example. When I was little growing up, my brother and I, we were very competitive for food. Okay, so mama would set the table, and if he had something on his plate that I didn't get that I wanted, you know what I'd do? I'd sanctify his biscuit so he couldn't touch it. Come on, somebody. When you got saved, God licked his finger and stuck it in you and said, I have sanctified you. You belong to me. You have been sanctified and you've been justified. What does justified mean? Just as if I'd never sinned. God expunged the record. Hebrews 8:12 says, this is God speaking. He says, I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins. Amen. You have God's word as a promise that when you repent of your sins, that God himself won't remember them. Right. Why? Because he chooses to forget them. I will never again remember their sins. Come on, somebody say, never again. That's what God said. You might remember them. Your friends might remember them. But God said, I will never, ever, 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 ever remember them again. Amen. Amen. If God chooses to forget about them, why on earth do we spend so much time thinking about them? Amen. Come on, y'all. Amen. Don't take lightly the price that Jesus paid, because he paid the price to wash your sins away and wipe the record clean. He gave everything so you can be free. Free from sin, free from guilt, free from the past. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Think about that. Jesus gave everything so we could be everything in him and have everything through him. Through his poverty, we became rich, and through his death, we have life. There's a saying that I hear a lot of Christians say. I grew up in church. I hear people say this all the time. A lot of Christians have this motto, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Some people, if they've been in church a long time, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Listen, I'm not perfect, but I don't identify myself as a sinner. Because that's what I used to be. And I wish that everybody would get a hold of this. Let's look back at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You were a sinner before you came to Christ, but you have a new identity in Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. When you surrender your life to Jesus, God gives you a new identity. Are you the same person? Well, I would say yes and no. I was Josh Clark before I got saved, and I'm still Josh Clark now, but I'm not the same Josh Clark I used to be. Y'all know what I'm saying this morning. Amen. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm still me. Just not the me I used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ." I'll never forget my college roommate, first year at Carolina. He came from a background where that was their motto. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner, and I do the best I can to serve Jesus. But he and I got to talking about 2 Corinthians 5:21 one day, and I talked about how, you know what? That sin is who you used to be. Through Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. And that blew his mind, and for the rest of the year, he got on my nerves every time I saw him, because he would tell me, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ." Some of y'all ought to get on the devil's nerves every day and remind him that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and your sins have been washed away. That is the greatest exchange in all of history, in all of eternity. Jesus took our sins upon himself, and he put his righteousness on us. And through his sacrifice, we've been adopted into the family of God. Amen. Romans 8:15 says, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." We have been adopted into the family of God. And if you don't know Hebrew, that term Abba, Father means Daddy God. Come on, tell somebody, that's my daddy. Come on, he loves you as a father loves his own child. 1 John 3:1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Come on, if you're saved, just shout right now, "I'm a child of God."
I'm a child of God.
Amen. Some of y'all got excited about that. I love it. I'm a child of God. Yeah. I've been adopted into his family.
Woo!
Some of you, if you ever want to break free from guilt, you need to change the way you talk.
Amen.
Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks."
Right.
Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Amen.
That means that you can speak words of life, or you can speak words of death. That means you can keep on saying, "I'm a sinner and I'm unworthy," or you can say what God says about you. You can say, "I'm forgiven, I'm a child of God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and he has washed my sins away.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:13, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." Your faith ought to determine what you say. In other words, your talking needs to line up with your believing.
Amen.
Amen. I don't belong to sin anymore. I belong to Jesus. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Three reasons to fear not. Number one, your past is pardoned. Number two, your present is powerful.
Amen.
Your present is powerful. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you." That is why your present is powerful, because God is with you. You don't have to be afraid because God is there, and you don't have to fear because he'll never leave you. I think about our four-year-old son, Hudson. Hudson, when he was a baby, he wasn't scared of the dark. You turned the lights out, I panicked, and he was just fine. But he's grown to be a little bit of scared of the dark. So when he has to go down the hallway to his room at night, I tell him, "Hudson, go ahead, go to your room. Go ahead and get ready for bed." He'll say, "Daddy, I'm scared. Go walk with me." And I walk with him. We go down that same dark hallway, and he is not scared a bit. He's not afraid. Why? Because I'm with him. And listen, no matter what you're facing right now, you don't have to be afraid, because you have an Abba Father who loves you, who is with you right now, and who will not leave you.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm.
Amen.
You're a child of God.
Right.
God's your daddy.
That's right.
I remember on the playground growing up in elementary school, we'd always get in this argument, and it still happens today, okay? We get in this argument, well, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy can beat up your daddy. My daddy's taller than you. Well, I can never say that, but I would say, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. All right. He's watching on Facebook. He's going to get me tonight. My daddy's bigger than your daddy. And it would go back and forth, back and forth. My daddy's bigger than your. Listen to me, child of God. Your daddy's bigger and better and stronger and greater than anything you will ever face. Your daddy is bigger. Think about it. The one who created the universe, the one who spoke the world into being, the one who hung the stars in the sky and set the planets in orbit, the one who formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into him. That is your heavenly Father. And he loves you. Come on, tell somebody, that's my daddy. Uh-huh. No matter what kind of problem the devil sends your way, you can look at that problem and say, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. He's bigger than cancer. He's bigger than arthritis. He's bigger than heart disease. He's bigger than diabetes. He's bigger than arthritis. He's bigger than lust. He's bigger than addiction. He's bigger than hatred. He's bigger than heartache. He's bigger than debt. He's bigger than divorce. You don't have to be afraid because God is greater. Bible says that God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Your present is powerful because your God is powerful. Come on, tell somebody, God is greater. That's why we should be people of faith and not of fear. We ought to believe God for the impossible and expect him to do it. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Amen. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith means you take God at his word no matter what the circumstances tell you. You're going to believe God anyway. Come on, when everybody around you says give up and quit, you ought to believe God despite the opposition. In other words, stop planning a funeral for something that's not dead. Oh boy, I could preach that one all day long. We're burying stuff that's not dead, aren't we? Come on, we're burying our dreams, we're burying our visions, we're burying our callings, we're burying those things that God put in our heart to do. We're giving up hope, we've laid it to rest, but it is not dead yet. It's not over till God says it's over. Right before this last election, I received a political postcard in the mail. I'll never forget it. I thought it was so funny. I took a picture and sent it to my friends. It was a letter from a local politician, and this is what he wrote in the letter. This is how he started his letter. Despite what my opponent says about me, I'm not dead. I love that. Come on, look at your neighbor, just in case they're wondering, just in case they don't know, tell them, I'm not dead yet. So don't count me out. Listen, it's not over till God says it's over. Stop burying stuff that isn't dead. By the way, y'all want to know what I want somebody to say at my funeral? I want them to say, look, he's moving. I'm not dead yet. Come on, have faith in God. Don't bury something that hasn't died. And remember what God has done in your life before, because if he did it then, he'll do it now. I'll tell you what builds my faith when I think back on all that God has done in my life. Amen. Somebody needs to get some perspective this morning. Right. You need to take time and look back over the course of your life, and you need to remember and praise God for everything that he's done for you. Amen. Amen. Four of y'all agree with that with me this morning. Well, I'll lay the word on you. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the things of old. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Nobody but God could do what he did in your life. Not only do we need to praise him for the things that he's done, we also need to thank him for the things that didn't happen. I think about the Jewish people when Haman was trying to wipe out the Israelites, and he was scheming and planning and plotting to destroy them, and all of a sudden God intervened, and what they had planned to happen didn't happen. So what did they do? They threw a celebration. They threw a party called the Feast of Purim, and they celebrated and praised God for what did not happen. I think it's time for some of us to start celebrating what didn't happen. Because a lot of things could have happened. A lot of things should have happened, but they didn't happen. And here you are today by the goodness of God, because God held back the enemy and stopped the devil's plans. Weapons were formed against you to destroy you, but by the grace of God, they didn't. We ought to praise him for what didn't happen. Oh, come on. You should have had cancer, but you didn't. You should have died in that car wreck, but you didn't. Your marriage should have failed, but it didn't. You should have lost your mind, but you didn't. Thank him and praise him for what didn't happen. I should have died 3 years ago, but I didn't. Come on, give God praise for what he didn't let happen. Somebody ought to be thankful that you didn't get everything that you asked for. Oh, you should have married him, but you didn't. You should have married her, but you didn't. And later you found out she was crazy. Thank God for what didn't happen. You should have got that job, but you didn't. Why? Because God had something better for you. Think about it. When I was in banking, my wife and I moved from Rocky Mount to Wilson. I was working in Rocky Mount. We moved to Wilson because that's where our church was. And we just love Jesus so much, it makes us crazy. But I got tired of driving 30 minutes a day to go to work. So I actually applied for a job in Wilson. And it would have been a major upgrade for me. The pay increase would have been exponential. Okay, we're not talking about addition. We're talking about multiplication. Thank you, Jesus. And my resume looked good. The interview went great. Everybody said, we want to hire you. We want to hire you. We want to hire you. But then a week later, somebody from the corporate office decided to give the position to somebody else. And at the time, I probably looked like I was baptized in vinegar. I'm like, Lord Jesus, help us. We are struggling, okay? We're eating ketchup packs from McDonald's right now. We're believing you for an increase. And God didn't let that happen. But a month later, I got a job offer to be in ministry full time. And sometimes God gives us not what we want, but what we need. Sometimes we need to praise God for what did not happen. When I was in college, I took a city planning class. And in that class, we studied Fiorello LaGuardia. Anybody ever heard that name? Fiorello LaGuardia. He was the mayor of New York in the 1930s. And one of the most famous and most prominent mayors in the history of New York City. In fact, LaGuardia Airport is named after the guy. Well, one day, Mayor LaGuardia, his eminence, one day he and his wife pulled into a gas station in Manhattan, and he went into the store while the attendant was pumping the gas. Well, after a few minutes, Mayor LaGuardia, he walked back to the car, and he saw his wife laughing and cutting up with the gas station attendant. Oh, when her husband came out, she gave the attendant a great big hug and said, it was so good to see you, and she got back in the car smiling. I mean, grinning, y'all. The mayor got in the car, and he got a little indignant, and he said, you acted like you know that man. She said, I do know that man. Oh, really? And exactly how do you know that man? She said, well, I used to date him. In fact, I almost married him. And the mayor got all puffed up and prideful, and he said to her, you're the wife of the mayor of New York City. If you had married him, you would have been the wife of the gas station attendant. And she said, no, no, you don't understand. If I had married him, he would have become the new mayor of New York City. I think in that moment, LaGuardia was praising God for what didn't happen. Come on, we ought to praise God for what he's done and for what he didn't let happen to us. Amen. Did you know God's solution for worry is worship? Amen. Worry and worship require the same amount of energy. Worry is when you focus on your problem. Worship is when you focus on the problem solver. Amen. Did you know God's solution for panic is praise? I'll be real with y'all this morning. I've had some panic in my life recently. I've had some moments where I was afraid or worried, and anxiety and fear would just come flooding over me. Because, listen, when you've had brain surgery, there's some residual effects that happen in recovery. Like when I roll over at night, my skull crackles, okay? where they cut my skull, it makes a noise. And when I roll over, I creep and crack, and all, it sounds like an old wooden door. And it makes me paranoid. They told me that it would happen, but I was not emotionally prepared for it to happen. So here I was rolling over in the middle of the night, and I hear a noise in my head. I'm thinking, dear Jesus, my brain's about to fall out. Had all these issues and all these problems, and recovery is going well, but there's still some weird stuff I got to deal with. And fear and panic try to set in and try to get a hold of me. But I had to make up my mind that instead of panicking, I'm going to praise God. Instead of focusing on the problem, I'm going to focus on my Abba Father, and I'm going to trust Him through this. So I've made a habit of when panic and fear start coming in, I just start praising Jesus. I start giving God praise. I say, you know what? I'm not going to walk by fear. I'm going to walk by faith. And apparently, I'm not the only one who does that, because I was in the Dollar Tree the other day, and a lady was walking down the aisle, and she just said, "Thank you, Jesus." I said, "Praise the Lord." Praise Him. Don't panic. Give Him praise. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on Him. Don't magnify your issue. Magnify God. Amen. When you focus on God and you magnify Him, He grows bigger in your life and your problems grow smaller. There is nothing that God cannot do. Here's my last point with the musicians come this morning. Three reasons not to fear. Number one, your past is pardoned. Number two, your present is powerful. And number three should have been the snow is melting. But this is number three, your future is promised. Don't be afraid, because your past has been pardoned, your present is powerful, and your future is promised. Do you understand that this Christian life goes beyond this lifetime? Do y'all know that?
Yes.
When you've been born again, when you're part of the kingdom of God, there's more to it than this earthly life. Jesus said in John 11:25, He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Yeah. Listen, Jesus doesn't just give us life. He gives us eternal life. And not even death can separate us from Him. Romans 8:38 says, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." When you've got Jesus, you've got it all. That's why the Apostle John said it like this. He said, "He who has the Son has life." So tell somebody, when you've got Jesus, you've got it all. Come on, tell somebody else, when you've got Jesus, you've got it all. When Jesus went to the cross, He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. That's why as a Christian, we don't have to be afraid. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your future is promised. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may also be." Listen to me, child of God. Heaven is real. Jesus has prepared a place for us, and He's coming soon to gather us to Himself. Heaven is going to be a place like no other. John said in Revelation 21 that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. This Christian life is not always easy, but it's worth it. We have hope in Jesus, and our future is promised. You need to understand that as a Christian, not even death can defeat you. Whether I live or whether I die, I belong to Jesus, and because I belong to Him, I don't have to be afraid. When my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, the doctors found it and they said it's really far too late for treatment. It's all throughout your body and in your brain. And when they gave her that devastating news, she said this to me, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. She said, "If I live or if I die, because I have Jesus, I win. Either way, I win." And I have comfort in knowing that one day I'm going to see her again. Because she has victory in Jesus, victory over death, victory over hell, victory over the grave. When you have Jesus, you have it all. Will you stand with me this morning as we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins, and to prove for all eternity that the sacrifice was sufficient. You raised him from the dead and he reigns forevermore. And Lord, I thank you that through Jesus we have victory. Lord, I thank you that we have freedom from guilt, that we don't have to live under the guilt of the past. Lord, that you've taken our yesterday. Father, I pray for those this morning who are struggling with guilt and struggling with condemnation. Lord, I pray, God, that they would receive your mercy. God, that they would receive your forgiveness. God, that they would come to know and understand that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. God, I pray that they would just receive your mercy with open arms, receive your love, and know, God, that you paid the price to wipe their record clean. God, though we didn't deserve it, Lord, you gave your son Jesus for us anyway. And because you gave the sacrifice and paid the price, we have become worthy. We've been redeemed. It's not our righteousness, it's the righteousness of Jesus. And we thank you for forgiveness. God, I pray for those who are facing a battle today. Lord, I pray, God, that they would find strength in you. Lord, that they would view you and come to know you as their Abba Father, as their Heavenly Father who loves them and will do anything for them. Lord, you said in your word, you didn't withhold Jesus, you won't withhold any good thing from us. Lord, I thank you for giving them the strength that they need. And God, may they stand on your word and know that God is greater, that you are greater, that you are stronger, and that you are more than able. Thank you, Lord, for strength for today and hope for tomorrow. Lord, I thank you for eternal life. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have not just given us life, you've given us life everlasting. Lord, I thank you that we'll worship you in your presence around the throne of God for all eternity. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Let's keep praying for just a moment. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Jesus with your life, the greatest decision you'll ever make is to follow Him. Through Jesus Christ, we don't have to live with the guilt of our past. He promised that He would be with us and give us strength in the present, and He would give us hope for tomorrow. The message of Jesus is the message of God's love for you. He loved you so much that when you weren't worthy and you didn't deserve it, He still sent Jesus. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us when we were at our very worst. And when we were at our worst, He gave His best for us. The Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Salvation is not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's the gift that God offers freely to all who would receive it by faith. You have an opportunity this morning, right now, to trust in Jesus. I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning. I want to ask everybody to pray this prayer with me out loud. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, set me free from my past. Give Give me strength for today and hope for tomorrow. And Jesus, with your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. Amen and amen.